When Susan Jane Gilman and a traveling companion ventured into China in 1986, most Chinese had never seen an American before. Suffice it to say that when Marco Polo and his caravan traveled from the Levant to China 720 years earlier, they were far better equipped for the travails that befell them. In this episode of Book Pod, Gilman talks about Undress Me in the Temple of Heaven, the book she wrote to memorialize a trip that brought her face to face with China before it became an economic powerhouse.
In 1986, I was 21 years old. My friend and I decided we wanted to be the female Odysseus, Byron, Huck Finn, Kerouac. We wanted to have an epic adventure worthy of great literature. And we planned this ambitious trek around the globe. And we wanted to start where nobody we knew had ever gone before. Hey, let's start in the People's Republic of China, we said. It had just opened up for independent backpackers, and we knew nothing about Asia, and we spoke no Mandarin, but we were full of hubris and ambition, and we said, well, how hard can this be? And we found out. We arrived in China in late 1986 with backpacks, an astrology book, the collected works of Nietzsche, and almost instantly found ourselves completely and over our heads in a communist country where we were under government surveillance the whole time. We were hungry because all the menus were in Chinese and no pictures. We were lost. We became physically sick and we quickly began to unravel. And I unraveled physically and she began to unravel mentally. And we found ourselves in an adventure worthy of great literature, but it was the heart of darkness, and we almost didn't make it out. We were both East Coast girls, but we came from very different worlds. I grew up in New York City in a government-subsidized housing on the then very rough Upper West Side. She came from a very wealthy family, you know, old blue blood New England. But we had a similar background in that we were bred to be America's best and brightest. We were Ivy League girls who had been told that we were the future leaders of America and that there was nothing we couldn't do. And so, like many Americans, we tended to view the world as just this great frontier for our own adventure and enrichment. And there is this idea that travel is nothing but this great adventure that helps us become better people. And the flip side of that is that travel is lonely, it is unnerving, and the minute you set foot in another country, your IQ plummets because all the small things you take for granted are gone. What I have to remind people of is in 1986, half of Europe was still behind the Iron Curtain. There was no internet. There were no direct phone lines into or out of China. We would have to call collect, and they would put it through the Koreas or through Hong Kong. And you would have to fill out a form and hand over your passport just to make a phone call. There were no direct flights to China unless you went with a special chartered government group. It was walled off from the rest of the world. Everything was challenging for us pretty much from the moment we got off the plane. I think what was challenging is when we got sick. And here we are sick in the middle of rural China. They haven't seen Westerners before. We don't even use the centigrade system of heat measurement. So their thermometers are all in Celsius. They put a thermometer in my friend's mouth and it comes back saying 40.1 degree. Well, what is that? We remember there's some formula from high school times 9/5 plus 32, and we don't even understand that. Then they take us to a hospital and there are chickens hopping around in the front yard and there are people on wooden pallets sort of coughing with oxygen tubes taped under their nose out in the hallways, and families are coming in with woks to cook food for their sick family. So they're there and they're smoking and they're cooking pork and the chickens are hopping around and the patients are out in the halls and the front yard coughing. When they tried to give my friend a vaccination or an injection, the needle was rusted and, you know, it took a sort of violent physical breaking away and flailing to keep them from giving it to her. We would find ourselves in these situations and not even be able to say, I don't speak Mandarin, or I need a doctor, or don't do that to me, or we want an aspirin. But everything was like that. How do you find the bus stop? How do you figure out where to go for a meal outside your hotel? How do you ask for a tampon in a Chinese government-run store? we went off determined to experience real life. There is this great irony of kids going in and slumming and keeping it real and voluntarily living, not hand to mouth, but, you know, living on $7 a day in a third world country and deliberately sleeping in flea bag youth hostels. And this whole idea that, you know, we're down with the people and experiencing real life by voluntarily giving up this incredible privilege or by adopting other people's poverty as a lifestyle choice. There was a competition almost among backpackers. Who was the most hardcore? Well, man, I slept standing up in a third-class train for 46 hours, and I did nothing but eat yak meat and drank tea with the locals, and I had dysentery, and thinking that somehow this was holier or more real. Whereas if the locals had had our money, they would have gone to Club Med. Why did I call it Undress Me in the Temple of Heaven? I did it for two reasons. On one hand, it refers to I had this romance with this tawdry Australian sailor, as one does in China, and he told me he wanted to undress me in the Temple of Heaven. The Temple of Heaven being, for people who haven't been in China, sort of their Notre Dame, their Eiffel Tower, you know, their big tourist landmark. So on one hand, it speaks to the romantic fantasies that you have about travel, about what you're going to do in distant lands. And then there's the reality, which is that we were stripped. We were stripped of everything familiar. We were laid bare. We might as well have been naked in this communist country. We did not have our language. We didn't have our families. We didn't have cultural references. Every tool that we had at our disposal, everything that we had that defended us, every piece of clothing was gone. And that's why I like the title, because, you know, it speaks to the idealism versus the reality. And that's very much what the book is about.
For information about Susan Jane Gilman's other books, visit SusanJaneGilman.com. Book Pod producer is Barbara Finkelstein. Music is by Kevin MacLeod. See you next time at Book Pod, home to writers of lasting value.